Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur of Daf Lamed Ches at the Mishnah that you'll find toward the top of the page, 3 lines from the top. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, a nosei, which introduces the upcoming Gemara. We have written, Din Yom Tov HaSomach L'Shabbos L'Gabi Erevin. We'll be focusing on a case where Yom Tov precedes Shabbos with regard to setting up an Eruv. Im Ma'arev Be'eruv Echod L'Shneem Oboi L'Arev L'Chol Echod. We're talking, of course, about the Eruv Tchumin, the Eruv that we've been speaking about in the last number of Shi'urim, where he wants to extend the distance from his location in a particular direction up till an additional 2,000 Amos. By making an Eruv for Yom Tov, is that Eruv going to be considered an Eruv not only for Yom Tov, but for Shabbos as well? And he is limited to that one Eruv? Or could he make an Eruv for Yom Tov, and then a separate Eruv for the next day for Shabbos? And that's what we've noted, Nafgamina, Ruach Echod L'Shnei Yomim, is he restricted to one direction for the next 2 days, for Yom Tov and Shabbos, or Shnei Ruchos L'Shnei Yomim, or could he make Eruvim in two different directions for each day separately? Yesoid Hadvorim, the basis of this, Tolui Bekach, is dependent on the following. Im Shabbos V'Yom Tov Nechshavim Kedusha Achas O Shnei Kedushos. Is the unit of Shabbos and Yom Tov, are they considered one entity of Kedusha, of sanctity, or are they considered two separate entities? Hopefully these points will become clearer as we continue into the Mishnah and the Gemara. So the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yom Tov HaSomach L'Shabbos, Bein Milufanel U'Bein Milachreo. Shabbos and Yom Tov coming out next to one another, whether Yom Tov is before Shabbos or Yom Tov is, namely Yom Tov is on Friday or Yom Tov falls out on Sunday. Me'arev Odom Shnei Eruvin V'Omer. A person can set up two Eruvim and say as follows. Eruvi Berishon LeMizrach U'Basheni LeMarov. And you'll see we have 4 different cases that the Mishnah features. He can say that I want my Eruv to be in the for the first day, namely for Yom Tov, let's say it's on Friday, to give me an extension in to the east. And on Shabbos, I want to have an Eruv that will extend my Tchum in the west. As we've learned before, but maybe we should repeat it for those who are somewhat new to the realm of Eruv Tchumin, when you extend your distance, your allowed distance in one direction, that same amount you lose in the opposite direction. So if, let us take the extreme example, if you extended your direction east of the city by 2,000 amos, that would mean that from the city you can then walk 4,000 amos in addition to the basic 2,000 amos that you have. By setting up an Eruv at the edge of the 2,000 amos mark, you can walk another 2,000 amos east. But by the same token, you can then not walk on that particular day west of the city, even one step outside the city to the west, because you have created a new location east of the city. So hence, that's your Shabbos location, and therefore the city, it represents at that point the far end, the far extreme westward that you would be able to walk. Let's continue with more examples. Number two, Barishon Lemarov B'Sheni Lemizrach. The first day, he wants to establish his location west of the city, and the second day, east of the city. Eruvi Barishon B'Sheni Kamnei Iri. Here's another possibility, where he wants to have an Eruv for the first day. Let's say Friday is Yom Tov, so on Friday he wants to have the option of walking east of the city, and on Shabbos he wants the city to be considered his location. And as we just pointed out, the difference is that on Friday he can walk east up till 4,000 Amos, and not 1 foot even to the west of the city. But on the second day, on Shabbos, the city would become his domain, and that would then entitle him to walk 2,000 amas east and 2,000 amas west of the city. And the final example, Eruvi B'Sheni Uberishon Kibneiri. The Eruv, he wants to take effect for the second day. But the first day of this Yom Tov Shabbos unit, he wants to be Kibneiri, he wants the city to be his locale. Up till now was the presentation of Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. V'chachomim oimrim. The chachomim say, O ma'arev l'ruach achas, O eino ma'arev kol ikr. The Chum say he can make one Eruv for both days, so that if he chooses to extend his Tchum east of the city, that extension will be binding for the first day, for Friday, and for Shabbos. Or he doesn't make an Eruv at all. Oy ma'arev l'shnei yomim, o eino ma'arev kol ikra. Here we'll translate, realizing that the Gemara will raise a question about this, but we'll wait for the question later. The second point here is the Bayes point, as we've marked it, is he makes an Eruv for both days, which would mean for both days he would be extending himself in one direction, or make no Eruv whatsoever. The Gemara will ask, well, what's the difference between this Bayes case, when it speaks about making an Eruv for 2 days, it means an Eruv in one direction for 2 days, and the Aleph case, where he spoke about an Eruv in one direction for both days? It would seem to be that this is a repeat, and that certainly can't be in the Mishnah. Ketzad Yaseh, how does a person act? Molicho Barishon Umach Shicholov. He carries the bread, let's say Erev Yom Tov, he carries the bread to the point that he wants his Mokum Shvisa to be. We could say he would carry it out 1,000 amos or 2,000 amos outside the city, to the east of the city, and then he would wait there till darkness sets in. That's the point that the Eruv kicks in, it takes effect. The Notlo, then he takes the bread, Ubalo, and goes back home with it, so that this is a Friday Yom Tov scenario, hence he can carry the bread home. Basheni Machshicholov Uba V'Ochlo Ubalo. On the second day, he carries the bread back to that point and waits there till darkness sets in, so the Eruv takes effect, and then eats the bread if he should. It's Shabbos, so he can't carry it home. And Ubalo, and then comes home. V'nimtso mistaki ba'lichosu mistaki be'ruvo. That way he benefits by through his walking there for a second day of an Eruv, and he also benefits by eating the bread and not leaving it go to waste. Nechal v'rishon Eruvo l'rishon v'ein Eruvo l'sheni. If the bread that he left as an Eruv was eaten on the first day, so it cannot serve. He can't make an Eruv the next day. Omar Lahem, Rabbi Eliezer, Moidim Atem Li, Shehein Shtei Kedushos. You are conceding to me by what you just said, that he made an Eruv for the first day, and he then doesn't have an Eruv for the second day. So are you not conceding then that they are the 2 days, the Yom Tov, which was on Friday, and Shabbos, are two separate Kedushos? By the fact that you say that there is no Eruv for the second day, after he made an Eruv for the first day, if it was one Kedusha, so then the Eruv that he made on the first day would carry over for the second day as well. Rashi, toward the end of the Mishnah commentary, toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Moidim atem li, shein shtei kedushos, de kwam risu, you said, ein eruv lasheni, the e kedusha achas, if it was one unit of sanctity, havelei kechad yom aricha, it would be like one long day, the yikne, bein hashmoshes shel rishon lishneim, and the eruv would take effect during the onset of the first day for both days, v'kivan d'shtei kedushas hein, and since, and this is where Rebbe Elazar continues his thesis or his point, that since they are two separate sanctities, yochel arav nami l'shtei ruchos, you can also make an eruv in two different directions. Now the Gemara. You'll notice a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star you see above and see where this is a quote from. L'ruach achas, mai nihu. When the Mishnah made reference to making an eruv in one direction, it was in the context of Yom Tov and then Shabbos. So the reference to an Eruv in one direction was L'shnei Yomim, was for 2 days. The one Eruv, in other words, that one direction that you're extending yourself, is for 2 days. The Mishnah then mentioned L'shnei Yomim. That was noted in the Mishnah under our Bayes notation. What was meant by the Eruv being for 2 days? Ma'inihu, L'ruach achas. It means in one direction. Well, hainu kamaisa, then that's exactly what the Aleph point was. Why the repetition? The Gemara answers, hochi ko'amri lei Rabbonan le Rebbe Eliezer. Rather, understand the Mishnah thus. So this is what the Rabbonan were saying to Rebbe Eliezer. They said, I ato moida shein ma'arvin liyoim echod chetzioi l'tzofoin v'chetzio l'dorom. Do you not admit that you cannot make an Eruv for part of the day in one direction to the north, the Tzofon, and for the second half of the day to the south? In other words, in the middle of Yom Tov, you can't switch your domain, your, we'll call your primary location. And do you not agree with that? Omar Lahen, Avol. Avol is a word meaning truth. Yes, I concede, I agree. So the Rabbanan went on to say to Rabbi Eliezer, Kishem Shem Arvin Liyom Echod Chetzio L'Dorim Chetzio L'Tzofon, just like regarding one day, you can't split it, that half of the day your location is in the south and the other half your location is in the north. Kach Ein Ma'arvin L'Shnei Yomim Yoim Echod L'Mizrach V'Yoim Echod L'Marov. Likewise, you cannot take these 2 days, having one day location east, and the second day, location west. Now, this is the opinion of the Rabbonin. You'll notice how he wrote between the lines, Mashma le Rabbonin Kedushachas. It would sound from here that, according to the Rabbonin, the unit of Yom Tov Shabbos is a unit of a unified sanctity, singular nature. For Rebbe Lozer, his response to what the Rabbonin were arguing, that namely, to compare two Eruvs within one day to the situation of two successive days, he sees a difference. Rebbe Elazar, Hosam Kedusha Achas, there in the case of one day, within one day, that's a single unit of sanctity. However, Ocha Shnei Kedushos, when you're dealing with two separate days, Yom Tov and then Shabbos, they represent two separate sanctities, and whatever you do for one, it does not bind you with regard to the next, the second day being treated as a separate entity. And hence, there is room for speaking about an Eruv in a different direction for the second day. Omar Lohen Rebbe Elazar. Now, Rebbe Elazar takes the offensive and says, "I atem moidim shim irev baraglov biyom rishon, me'arev baraglov biyom sheni." That if he made an eruv through his feet, which means he walked to a certain point on day one to establish his eruv, he will have to walk again for day two to establish his eruv. Nechal eruvo biyom rishon, ein yotze olov biyom sheni. If he had made an eruv, let's say with food, the first day, for the first day, and the food was eaten, he cannot walk beyond his tum on the second day. He can't rely on having an Eruv for the second day. Omru lo, avol. And they said, correct. Ha lai. Well, if that be the case, that they are conceding, the Rabbanan are conceding to Rabbi Elazar on that point, shnei kedushos hein. So that would appear, then, that according to the Rabbanan, there are, in fact, two kedushos. And that's what we wrote between the lines, that according to Rabbanan, it sounds like there are two kedushos. Now, we have little arrows also opposite this write-in and above. Notice the seeming contradiction. Above it seemed clear that the Rabbanan held that the Shabbos Yom Tov was viewed as a single entity. Here we're saying that if the Eruv that was placed for the first day isn't around anymore because it was eaten on the first day, so you don't have an Eruv for the second day and you're thereby restricted to your town, if you will. That would show then that there are two separate kedushos, that the Eruv that you made for day one is no longer of any value for day two. The Gemara proceeds, explaining the Rabbanan, Rabbanan Sfuke Mesafke Lehu, the Rabbanan, in fact, are in doubt regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov. Are they one unit of sanctity or two? The Hocha Lechumra, the Hocha Lechumra. And as a result of their doubt, they approach the issue with stringency in both examples. And to appreciate this a little more, we look at Rashi. Toward the bottom, we'll notice there's a starred Rashi. The Avdi Hocha Lechumra, the Ein Yochol La'arev L'Shnei Ruchos, that he cannot, they look at the unit of Shabbos and Yom Tov as one Kedusha entity, preventing him from making an Eruv in two separate directions, one for Yom Tov and the other for Shabbos, Dilmo Chado Kedusha Hi, because of the possibility that they form one unit, the Hocha L'Chumra, and regarding the other scenario, they also adopt stringency, the Inech HaBarishon, if the Eruv of the first day was eaten, the Ein Eruv L'Sheni, then he doesn't have an Eruv for the second day. In other words, that whatever he did for the first day doesn't help for the second day. Why? Dilma Shnei Kedushos Ein. Maybe they are two separate sanctities. And if that be the case, if they really were, for sure, so the fact that you made an Eruv for the first day has no bearing on the second day. So as we said, the Rabbonon are in doubt. We continue. Amru lo l'Rebbe Eliezer. The Rabbanan argued against Rebbe Elazar, Yata Moide She'ein Ma'arvin B'tchila Miyom Tov L'Shabbos. Do you not agree that you cannot make an Eruv? Let us say a person did not make an Eruv during the Yom Tov Eve, or the Bein HaShmoshes of Erev Yom Tov. And this person needs to go beyond original tum, he needs to go beyond that on Shabbos. So the Rabbanan say to Rebbe Elazar, do you not agree that you cannot make an Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Amar lohen avol. And they said, yes, we concede that you can't do that. Well, ha lai, this lying means, ironically, it means in truth, kedusha achas hi. The fact that you can't make an Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos would indicate that it's like making an Eruv in the middle of the day, because Yom Tov Shabbos is one unit of sanctity. It's one entity. And as we said before, everyone agrees that in the middle of the day you can't change your location by making an Eruv for the second half of the day. So even this, making it on Yom Tov, which is a Friday, for Shabbos, would be the same thing, showing us that the two form a singular unit of sanctity. For Rebbe Eliezer, what's his response? Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that Shabbos and Yom Tov are two separate sanctities, Hasam Mishum Hachona, there the restriction of making a Yom Tov making an Eruv on Yom Tov day for Shabbos is a problem of preparing on Yom Tov for Shabbos, which is something that one is not allowed to do. And this actually we'll see later in the Gemara more about this topic known as Hachona. The topic heading on the side, we have a no say, and under which we've written Machlokes Tanoim Yom Tov Shabbos Yihavu Kedusha Achas O Shtei Kedushos, similar to the discussion we've been having till now. We'll see another Tanaic controversy in viewing Shabbos Yom Tov. Is it one sanctity or two Kedushos, two sanctities, two separate entities? So the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Erev Baraglov Biyom Rishon Ma'arev Baraglov Biyom Shin. If he made an Eruv by foot, meaning by walking to the edge of his Tum, and thereby reestablishing his location by being at that new location, and he did that for the first day, he does that for the second day. Nechal Eruvo Biyom Rishon Ein Yotze Olov Biyom Shein Divrei Rebbe. If he made an Eruv for the first day but it was eaten, he cannot rely on it for walking an additional beyond his original Tum based on that Eruv on the second day. And the basis here is that according to Rebbe, they are definitely two Kedushos, and on that second day, therefore, since he can't go in the direction that the first Eruv entitled him to, so on that second day he becomes like the rest of the city dwellers. And his tum is then defined by the city, 2,000 amas all around the city. Rav Yehuda Omer, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Hare Ze Chamer Gomol. Rabbi Yehuda is in doubt whether it's one Kedusha or two Kedushas. So if this happens, then he becomes locked in the middle, like the term Chamor Gomol implies. We've discussed this in a previous shiur. The Chamor is an animal that's driven from behind, and a Gomol is driven from in front. But if you stand in back of a gomol and in front of a chamor, you're not going to be able to budge whatsoever. So you're locked in between them. Rashi at the top says, "Hareza chamor gomol til mochade kedusha hi v'kona eruv l'shnei yomim." Maybe it's one level of sanctity, and in this case where the eruv was eaten on the first day, so if it was one sanctity, so then whatever his extent was on the first day, he would be bound to that for the second day. So the city is not his location. The hifsid alpayim shekenegdo shekeneged eruvo, that Rashi says that he would then lose the 2,000 amas in the opposite direction because of his having made an eruv 2,000 amas in one direction, extending his tchum another 2,000 amas in that particular direction. The Kan lo kona klum, on the other side, he has acquired nothing. El alpayim shoyu lo, below Eruv. The Dilma shnei kedushos hein, velo kona eruvo, elo liyom echod. It could be that they're two separate sanctities, and the Eruv that he made for the first day has no effect on him on the second day. And on the second day, dino lios Basheni kibenei iro, he becomes like the city itself. V'ein lo kan elo alpayim, and he would then have only 2,000 amas in any given direction on that second day. Mimonav shoch b'hanoch alpayim amo nishtri. So whichever way you look at things, when you call him a chamor gomol, so if we take advantage of the little diagram that we have on the side of the page, you'll notice we have a city, and then he made an area of, let's say, 2,000 amas north of the city, enabling him to walk an additional another 2,000 amas, total of 4,000 amas north of the city. What about walking south of the city? So, if you say that's one Kedusha, so then he couldn't walk even a step south of the city. If you say they're two separate Kedushos, so he'd be entitled to walk 2,000 amas south of the city. So what we say is that all we give him is that which we know for sure, and that's the 2,000 amas north of the city, as you can see on the diagram, because that, under all cases, is what he would have. Whether it's one Kedusha or two Kedushas, he gets those 2,000 amas, which happen to be between the two other units of 2,000 amas, which he doesn't get because of our doubt. And again, we say he doesn't get it, that's vis-a-vis the second day, and therefore he's locked into those 2,000 amas as are delineated on the chart. We turn back to the Gemara. Rav Shim Gamliel, Rav Shmuel ben Osh, Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Omrim, Erev Baraglov Barishon, Ein Marev Baraglov Bisheni. If he made an Erev by walking to that his chosen location on the first day, so he need not make an Eruv on the second day. There's no need for making an Eruv on the second day, because according to this approach, it's definitely one Kedusha. Nechal Eruv Biyom Rishon Yotzilo B'Sheni, if the Eruv that he made for the first day was got eaten, he can rely on it for the second day, even though it's not around, but that's because it's one unit of sanctity. It's Kedusha Achas, so that whatever he did for Yom Tov will carry over for Shabbos. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Rav Posek Ke'arba Zkenim. Rav will rule like four sages. The Shabbos V'Yom Tov Havu Shtei Kedushos. We'll see four Tanaic opinions that are of the same mindset, that the Shabbos Yom Tov unit constitutes two separate types of sanctity, two different kedushos. The Gemara, Omar Rav, Halacha ka'arba zekenim halolu, va'alibo de Rebbe Eliezer. The halacha will follow the four following sages, who are all teaching in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer of our Mishnah, that said, Yomar shtei kedushos hein, that Shabbos Yom Tov are considered two separate units of sanctity, v'eilu hein. The following are the four sages: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Stimta. The word Stimta means an official or an opinion that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt is noteworthy and of halachic significance. Rashi says, "Stimto kori kol mi shera Rebbe dvarav b'mekomos harbe v'shonon b'mishnah stam." An opinion that Rebbe sees in a number of different places and will teach that opinion without the name. In other words, it being a position, a legal ruling without a name, shows that it has authority. So that that particular ruling that carries this authority is the rulings of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Ika Diamri, another version name-wise, is Chad Minayu Rabbi Elazar, Umapik Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Stimta, that take out of the list, namely the number four, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and replace it with Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Rabbi Elazar, without the father's name, is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua the Tana, that he is the fourth opinion holding that Shabbos Yom Tov are two Kedushos. The Gemara now asks, "Faha Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ba Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka." Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the text. These two Tanoim, Ipcha Shaminon Lahu, we have heard them to hold the opposite, namely that they are one Kedusha. Notice the little star, and contrast or compare this to the star above, parallel this to the star above, where we saw those names, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, saying that they are one Kedusha. So how can Rav have them in a list of Rabbonin that hold two Kedushas, when we saw above those very rabbis saying one Kedusha? The Gemara answers, Epoch, switch that around and have them holding two Kedushas. So that in the source above, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka would say that if he made an Eruv for the first day, he will have to make an Eruv for the second day. The Gemara asks, well, Ihochi Hainu Rebbe, being that we're focusing on the source at the top, that source began at the bottom of Omid Aleph, and there you'll notice Rebbe holding two Kedushos. So then, how is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who appear in the same source, how are they any different than that which was already taught by Rebbe? The Gemara answers, Amal V'chein, Omar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, etc. The source should read, just like Rebbe said, that they are two Kedushos. So too, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that if the Eruv was consumed on the first day, he can't rely on it for the second day, because the second day is a separate entity, two Kedushos. The Gemara asks, well, regarding the list of Tanoim that Rav mentioned, V'lech Shov Nami Rebbe, why doesn't Rav, in his list, consider the list of the rabbis that hold two Kedushos? Why doesn't he consider Rebbe, namely Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe that we saw in that very source holding, you need to, that they are two Kedushos? The Gemara answers, Rebbe Toni Lo Velo Sovar Lo. Rebbe teaches that opinion, that if the Eruv is eaten on the first day, you can't rely on it for the second day because they are two separate Kedushos, but he himself doesn't hold like that. He said it. He said it as an opinion, but it's not something that he personally agrees with. That's why it's not in Rav's list of Rebbe is not in Rav's list of the rabbis holding two Kedushos. Well, the Gemara says, well, if that's how you're explaining Rebbe, Rabbonanami Tonu Law Velo Savri Law. It might very well be that the other Rabbonim, namely Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, they also, after all, did we not say just a few moments ago to read the sources on the heels of Rebbe, say, V'chein Omer Shimon Gamliel? So if Rebbe states it but doesn't hold by it, they too, are they not the same? The Gemara answers, Rav Gemara Gomir Law. Rav has a tradition from his rabbis, from his predecessors, that these four hold, like Reb Eliezer, that they're two Kedushos. And in that tradition, Rav does not have Rebbe as holding like them. In other words, Rebbe taught it, but doesn't hold from it, as opposed to the four rabbis, including Reb Shlomo and Reb Shmuel, Benosha, Berkel, and Berkel, that not only teach it, but hold from it, two Kedushos. Kinoch nafshei derav huna, ayel rav chizda lemir mo derav adarav. When Rav Huna passed away, Rav Chisda entered to raise a contradiction between statements of Rav. Mi omar Rav halacha karba zikenim aliba derav lezer domar shtei kedushos hein. Does Rav really say that the halacha follows the four sages? In accordance with the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer that they are two separate Kedushos, V'ha Itmar, has it not been said, Shabbos V'yom Tov, when the 2 days come one after the other, Rav Omar Nolda Bozeh Asura Bozeh, if an egg is laid on one of the days, it cannot be eaten on the other day. If, let's say, an egg was laid on Friday, which happened to be a Yom Tov, a chicken's egg was laid, you cannot use that egg on Shabbos. Is that not a function of holding that Shabbos and Yom Tov are one entity? And as is well known, if an egg is laid on a holy day, on any particular holy day, it's considered a form of muktzah, and you cannot use it. You can't eat it. By forbidding it on both days, it's in effect, you would be in effect saying it's like one single entity. Omar Rabba. Rabba responds to this contradiction that Rav Chisda raised, said no. He says that the Rav's opposition to eating the egg on the second of the two holy days, though it was laid on the first, you cannot use it on the second. That is Mishum Hachona. That is because there is a separate prohibition of having one day serve as a preparation for the next day. In other words, if you have a holy day, the holy day doesn't serve in this service capacity as preparing for the next day. The Sanya, and the basis for this prohibition of using a holy day for preparing for another day. The pasuk says, "V'hoya b'yom hashishi ve'chinu." That's a pasuk in the context of the mon, as it is taught in Parshas Beshalach in Sefer Shmois. And this word, Beyom Hashishi, Hashishi means a Friday. Your standard Friday is understood to be a weekday. And from this we learn, Chol Meichin LeShabbos, V'chol Meichin LeYom Tov, a weekday is the day which prepares for the subsequent holy day. So you would prepare on Friday for Shabbos, or prepare on Erev Yom Tov for Yom Tov. V'ein Yom Tov Meichin LeShabbos, V'ein Shabbos Mechinu LeYom Tov. But to expect a holy day to serve in a service capacity or a preparatory capacity for the next day, even if the next day is also holy, that is out of bounds. And so that's the reason when the egg is laid on a holy day, it cannot be used on the next day, because the next day being a holy day. We should point out that this is explained by Rashi elsewhere, that a holy day is a type of day that needs its food, needs its matters to be prepared. That's in contrast to a weekday that doesn't need to have things prepared for it. So in a case where a given holy day is preceded by another holy day, a holy day, the preceding holy day, cannot serve as a preparation for the next day. Nothing to do with the 2 days being viewed as a single element, a single unit of sanctity. So at this point, we're left still with Rav's ruling that Shabbos Yom Tov are shtei kedushos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some new geometric forms, and we turn our attention to the mivneh, the structural note. A diamond is featured, and we have written on the side, Shnei kushios al hachona, two questions regarding the matter of hachona, this issue of preparation. The squiggle underline will appear as the Gemara continues. In this case, they represent Shuvos Shel Rabo Be'inyan Hachona, Rabo's responses regarding the matter of Hachona. Another marking that we will use is a bow tie, and that highlights Rabbonon Hacholkim Al Hachona de Rabo. Rabbonon that express their opposition, their disagreement with this concept of Hachona. And we've noted Abaye will be raising the first question, showing us that Abaye's position is one unlike that of Rabbah, the fact that he's questioning Rabbah. Toward the bottom of the Omid, you'll see Rabbah ba Rav Chonin, also with a bow tie. And at the when we get to Daf Lamed Tes, Omid Aleph, just before the Mishnah, you will see another bow tie. The reference made in that bow tie, the truth is that it's really a reference to the two names we've already seen, Abaye and Rabo Bar Honan. So we continue now in the Gemara with a question. Omar Le Abaye, Elo, Ha Disnan, the Mishnah that taught, Ketzan Hu Oise, Molicho, when we have a case where Yom Tov is then followed by Shabbos, what does he do with regard to the Eruv? So the Mishnah taught, Ketzeroy se molicho barishon umach shicholov v'not lo ubolo, he brings the loaf to that Eruv, to the tum position that he wants to be in, brings it there Erev Yom Tov, stays there till Yom Tov darkness sets in, and then takes the bread back to his home. Basheni, this is on the second day, meaning in anticipation of the second day, that means Yom Tov, which is Erev Shabbos, Mach Shicholov V'Ochlo Bolo. What does he do? He brings the loaf late Friday afternoon, and Friday in this particular example happens to be Yom Tov. He brings it to the location that he wants to establish as his Mokum Shvisa, where he wants to establish his location. He stays there till after sundown sets in, the sundown of Shabbos, till it gets dark. He can't carry it anymore, so the Ochlo eats it there, and then comes home. having established his new Mokum Shvisa at that point. How can he do this, though, on Yom Tov? How can he do all of this? Bring the bread back there on Yom Tov and Machshichalav. Hakom Meichin Mi Yom Tov LeShabbos. Is he not preparing on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Is he not making an Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos? Is that not a Hachona problem? Omar Rabba. Rabba answers, and the Sfulama indicates his rejection of the question. He says, Mi Savris Soif Hayoim Koine Eruv? Who says that it's the end of the day, end of the Erev Shabbos, in this case Yom Tov, at the end of Friday, which is Yom Tov, is what establishes the Eruv as being effective, which would then have Yom Tov being Meichin LeShabbos? Not so. Tchilas Hayoim Kaina Eruv. It's rather the beginning of the holy day in which the Eruv takes effect. For Shabbos, Mechino Liatzmo, Shabbos is preparing for itself. That's okay. What we didn't want is to have another day, another holy day, preparing for a second holy day. But for the day to prepare for itself, that's okay. You'll notice a bracketed section that lasts a number of lines. Note the bracket length indicator showing how many lines this is. If we skip this bracketed section, we would read another question concerning Hachona. And on the side, we have a starred note which indicates what the role of this bracketed section is. So let's read the note. Hasograim yu'adim la'azor lishmor al retzef ha'shelos ha'achona. The brackets are designed to preserve the continuity of questions that we are asking against the Hachona concept of Rabbah. The Gemara will have an internal question concerning the need for a meal or food that's fit to eat while it's still day. Namely, before the Eruv kicks in and works as an Eruv, it has to be food that one could have eaten beforehand. So now that the structure of the Gemara has been laid out, realizing that we're going to be challenging the Hachona concept again when we get to the next diamond, we turn to the bracketed section, and we'll also immediately encounter triangles. So this is part of our nosei and the subsequent mivneh that you see on the side. So let's read this. On the side of the Gemara, we've written under the Nosei, Tchilas Hayom Koina Eruv, Avol Bo'inan Suda Ruyo Miba'o Yom. It is true that the beginning of the day, as we just explained, is where the Eruv takes effect. So it's at the very first moment of Shabbos, that's when the Eruv kicks in. However, the food that you're using must be food that you could have eaten before it. So that's what's meant by we require a suda ruyim mibod yom. Now under the mivneh heading, we have a note besochasugraim. The mivneh, the structural note, features that section of the Gemara within the brackets, triangles with the point facing. This is a ma'akav. The triangles will be assuming two separate directions. So when the point is facing up, kushios, those are questions, and when it is inverted, chulos, responses. So now, let's turn to the Gemara. Elo me'ato. Now that you have said that tchilas hayoim koinet, yarvu, the login, the flask case should have been an effective eruv. What is the flask case? So Rashi makes reference to it, and in fact, this is a Gemara that we learned very recently. So Rashi says, Yarvu belogin. Login fu yom, desnan liel bepirkin. We learned about a flask containing wine that had been handled or touched by a tvul yom. A tvul yom is a person who is a shani level tuma that can ruin truma. But he, the tvul yom, does not, he's a type of tuma that does not ruin chulin. And we learned earlier on Daf Lamed Vav shemilu min achovis shel tevel tvuyom filled up some wine from a barrel of untithed wine. V'yomar hareze trumas meiser l'shech tefshach, and he declared the wine in this flask as a trumas meiser tithe to exempt other wine. But he said, I want the trumas meiser status to set in after darkness, means after Shabbos sets in. Then his declaration should take effect. So we say Dvor of Kayomin, his declaration takes effect, and it is Tohor. It's considered untainted, undefiled, even though the Tvuyom handled it, but he handled it before it assumed the Truma, in this case, Truma's Meiser status. So he didn't affect it. V'im Omar Irvuli Ba, if he declared it to be an Eruv, Lo Omar Klum, then what he says is not effective. Almos soif hayoim koine eruv ve'akati tevelhu. By in the case of the login, his declaration that it should be an eruv is unacceptable, which would show that the eruv takes effect at the end of the day, contrary to what we just got finished saying that it's tchilas hayom kone, because if it was tchilas hayom kone, It's a Trumas Meiser tithe, and that's good. You can use that as an Eruv. But the fact that the ruling regarding the login is that the Eruv declaration is not effective, it's because it's the end of the previous day that in which an Eruv kicks in. And as Rashi says, Valkati Tevelu, at that point it was still Tevel. It was still untithed, and something that's untithed cannot be used as an Eruv. So this login case shows us that the time in which an Eruv kicks in as being effective is in fact the end of the previous day. So the Gemara, once again, if it is true as you said that Tchilas Ayom Kone Elo Me'ata Yarvu Belogin, so the login that was Tevel, but he's declaring it to be Trumas Meiser upon the onset of Shabbos, it should be good as an Eruv, and yet we learn that it's not. The Gemara says, the truth is that Tchilas Hayom Kone, why is the login not going to be a good Eruv? Bo'inon Sudariyot Mibod Yom Voleka. Because an additional requirement of Eruv is that it be a food item that you could have eaten on Friday, on the day before. And that is not so in the case of the login, because on Friday it was still Tevel. Elo ha disnan, well, we have the following source. Reb Elazar Omer, Yom Tov Asomach l'Shabbos, when Yom Tov comes out adjacent to Shabbos, Beim Fa, Beim Machre, whether Yom Tov is before, whether it's on Friday, or Yom Tov is on Sunday, Mare Vodom Shnei Eruvin. A person can make two separate Eruvin. The assumption right now is that the Eruv he makes for Yom Tov is at the end of 2,000 Amos to the east, and the Eruv that he would make for Shabbos is at the end of 2,000 Amos to the west. So that on Yom Tov he can walk 4,000 Amos eastward, nothing at all westward. And on Shabbos, he'd be able to walk 4,000 Amos westward and nothing at all eastward. Well, ha bo'inon sudoria vibo yom v'leka, the Eruv that's going to work for the second day, namely the Eruv that he's going to place 2,000 Amos, let us say to the west of the city, can he get to it on Friday? We pointed out a moment ago that since he made his Friday Eruv east of the city, he can't walk even one step west of the city. So how could he possibly have access to an Eruv that he is making on 2,000 Amos west of the city, when he wouldn't be able to get to it on Friday, when he can't walk at all west of the city? The Gemara answers, it's all in the numbers. Really, we do require Suda Ruyum Ibod Yom. But the Mishnah that taught about a person making two Eruvs, Mi Savris Demonach Le Besof Alpayim Amo, who said that the Mishnah featured a case of his putting an Eruv down at the end of 2,000 Amos Lekan, Uvesof Alpayim Amo Lekan, and 2,000 Amos in the opposite direction for the second day. That is not what really happened. Rather, Loi, Demonach Le Besof Elef Amo Lekan, on for Friday, he had placed the Thursday afternoon, he had placed the Eruv down 1,000 Amos in one direction. So that's his location. Once he is located at that 1,000 Amma mark, he can still walk 1,000 Amas in the opposite direction of the city. And that is the point in which he wants to place his Eruv for the second day. So, being that that's the case, on the first day, even though he changed his location to 1,000 Amas, let's say, north of the city, that doesn't prevent him from going 1,000 Amas south of the city, and hence he can activate the Eruv at that point for the second day. We have a little diagram to the side of the Gemara that illustrates this, where there's a city, an Ir, and he places the Eruv on the first day 1,000 Amas north of the community. He can walk 1,000 Amas south of the community. As we continue, we notice a diamond, and we introduce this here. Ela ha di Omar Rav Yudah. The diamond introduces a question on the hachona concept. So that which Rav Yudah says, Irev Baraglov Baraglov Yom Rishon, Me'arev Baraglov Yom Sheni. The second point made here is just to quote the entire Rav Yudah comment, but it's to be de-emphasized. That's why we have brackets around it. And it reads, Irev Bepas Biyom Rishon, Ma'arev Bepas Biyom Sheni. What we want to focus on here is the Ma'arev Baraglov Yom Sheni. The Havamina is that when he, after he made the Eruv for the first day, the Eruv of Yom Tov, he, on Yom Tov, he is going to make a second Eruv for the purposes of Shabbos. The Havamina is that he has to verbally declare Shvisasi Bimakomi or Malkomploni, and he has to say that Mibaod Yom. He has to say it before the new day sets in, and very simply because a person can't calculate exactly when the second day sets in, so even though we said that an Eruv takes effect at the beginning of the second day, a person can't calculate exactly when that is, so he's forced to announce his desire for something to be an Eruv at the end of the previous day. In this case, though, the previous day being Yom Tov, is he not then preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos? The Gemara says, or concludes the question and says, Ha ka mechin mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos. Is he not doing that? And this is what Rav Yehuda rules. So how can you say that there is a problem of hachona when we're allowing this to take place? Amale, Rava responds, Mi savris the ozil vi omar midi, who says he actually goes there and makes a verbal declaration? No, the Ozil v'Shosik v'Yosef. All that happens is he goes to that location on the end of the first day in anticipation of the second day. He goes there, sits there, remains silent. By remaining silent, that obviates the Hachona issue. And that's effective. The Gemara asks, what, just by sitting there and remaining silent, that is enough? Keman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, are you saying that we are ruling like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? The Omar Chefzei Hefker Koinen Shvisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri appears in a sugya that deals with a person who is sleeping when Shabbos sets in, that the location in which he is sleeping, he's koine shvisa over there. And that idea that a yoshen is koine shvisa is in line with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says chefse hefker, something that's unowned, also is koine shvisa. Even though there's no actual das, you still are koine shvisa. Just like an unowned item has its own shvisa, meaning its location is bound to that, you know, the area, the point in which it was found. So are we saying that Rabbah's answer of the person going there on the in anticipation of the second day, which is in this case we're going from Yom Tov to Shabbos, at the last few hours of Yom Tov, he goes there and sits and remains quiet, that sounds like Rabbah is ruling like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that says chefsei hefker or koine shvisa, the silent person being parallel to the case of items of hefker. The Gemara says no, we don't have to lock Rabbah into Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Afilu teimo rabbonon, that is that Rabbah's psak can conform to the rabbonon as well, who the rabbonon ad kan lo pligi rabbonon later Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. There is a machlokus, and that machlokus between the Rabbon and Yochanan ben Nuri is true till now regarding Elo B'yoshein. That's with regard to the sleeping individual. The Lo Motzi Omar, he's sleeping, he's not capable of talking. Avo B'neur, but someone who is awake and simply chooses to remain silent, the nature of such a person is the Iboi L'meimar Motzi Omar. If he wanted to speak up, he could speak up. We therefore say Afagav de lo Omar, even though he didn't actually speak up. Keman de Omar domi. It's as if he spoke, but in actuality, he goes to the tum and remains quiet. Therefore, there is no problem of hachona. The Gemara continues by making a point, and we call this a long point. That's why you see the nun that's encircled. And it continues down a couple, two lines from the top of Lamed Tesom Aleph. Omale Rabo Bar Rav Chonon Labaye. And the bow tie helps navigate and indicate the mindset of Rabo Bar Rav Chonon is not in favor of Hachona, of the Hachona concept. So Rabo Bar Rav Chonon says to Abaye, and Rabbah, who introduced the Hachona idea, the prohibition, the restriction of preparing from a holy day to another holy day, if Rabbah would have heard the following Brisa, which continues to the second line of the top of Lamed Tesom Aleph, let's skip the Brisa for a moment. Miyad Hodar Bey. Rabbah certainly would have changed his opinion. He would have reversed his opinion. The Gemara on the second line of Lamed Tesom Aleph goes on to say, Velohi, that is not true. Shamale, Veloh Hodarbe. He heard the Brisa, which we haven't learned yet, and he didn't back out. Now let us see what Rabbah Bar Rav Chonon was trying to say. He says that if Rabbah would have heard the following Brisa, Rabbah would have changed his mind. Well, what does it say? Lo yahalech odom l'soif sodehu leida ma hi tzricha. A person should not on Shabbos stroll to the end of his field to see what needs it has to take care of after Shabbos. Kayotze bo. Similarly, we continue at the top of Lamed Tesom Aleph. Lo yitayel odom al pesach medina kidei shikoneis lemerchatz. A person shouldn't stroll at the edge of the Medina of the settlement in order to enter immediately after Shabbos the Beis HaMerchatz. We take a look at Rashi at the top. Lo yitayel odom b'Shabbos o b'Yom Tov somach l'chashecha ad Pesach Medina kedei l'iskarim l'merchatz. A person shouldn't stroll on Shabbos or Yom Tov near the end of that day to be standing by the town's gates so that he gets near to the bathhouse, so that immediately after darkness, after Shabbos or Yom Tov passes, he can go to the bathhouse. What do we see from this restriction? Almo, we see Af Al Gav Even though all we're talking about is walking and not speaking, remaining silent, aser, it's still prohibited. V'gabi eruv, he b'dibura hava aser mishum achana b'shikuzanami hava aser. If the speaking about the eruv on the last moments of Friday, which happens to be a yom tov, you're saying is forbidden. So it's forbidden to declare something in Eruv at the end of Friday for Shabbos, Friday being a Yom Tov, based on the Isser of Hachona, so remaining silent would also be a problem. The Gemara continues. Veloi hi. Rabba Bar Rav Hanan was suggesting Miad Hadar Bey, meaning Rabba certainly would have backed out, Velohi not so. Rabba would not have backed out, and this takes a few lines to develop. That's why we have a long marking. The Dalit is a Dechia, a rejection of this question. Gemara says, Velohi Shoma Le Velo Hadar Bey. Rabba heard this source, and that was not enough to make him change his mind. To hold that there is no hachana, that even in silence there is a hachana problem. Rabba tried to answer before that by remaining silent there's no hachana problem. Here we see from this source that even by remaining silent there is a hachana problem. So the Gemara is pointing out that Rabba was aware of this source and he didn't back out. Hasa mukha milsa, there where a person walks to the edge of a community at the end of Shabbos, it's very clear why he is there, and he's there for a practice or a purpose that you could not do on Shabbos, namely you couldn't use a bathhouse on Shabbos. So you cannot walk to a point that you'll be more accessible to the bathhouse. Hachalav mukha milsa hi. Here, however, in the case of someone standing at the edge of his tchum, it's not clear to any onlookers as to what he is doing. So since it's not muchamilsa, and you'll ask, why is it not obvious? So, itzubur rabbonon hu amrinon shmaitza meshachte. If the person who is there at the edge of the, or at that point where he wants to establish a new eruv, if he is a Talmud Chacham, people will say, what is he doing out there? Because he got lost in his Torah thoughts. That's Shmaitza Meshachte, his learning, his Torah learning drew him out there. It means he got lost in his thoughts, and that's how he ends up standing there. That's what people will say. So there's no, we're not creating an impression of a Hachona issue. The Amora, too, if the person standing out there to create the new Mokum Shvisa, is an Amoritz, but he remains silent. People will say, Aminon Chamri Yuchislei. People will explain that, he must have lost the donkey, and he's out there looking for it. Gufa. Omar Rav Yehuda. The word Gufa indicates a quote from something mentioned before, and now we focus on it. So, Gufa Omar Rav Yehuda, Irev Baraglov B'yom Rishon, Ma'ariv Baraglov B'sheni. If he made his Eruv by walking to his point of Shvisa on the first day, so he has to walk back there on the second day. If he used bread to establish his Mokum Shvisa on the first day, so he should use bread on the second day. If he made an Eruv with bread on the first day but ate that bread, so then he makes an Eruv by foot going to that location. Irev Baraglov Barishon, Ein Ma'ariv Bepas Besheni, Shein Ma'arvin Betchilo Bepas. If he made an Eruv on the first day, let's say it was Yom Tov, by going to that spot, so he can't make an Eruv using bread for the next day, namely for Shabbos. And the Halacha states this as Shein Ma'arvin Betchilo Bepas. You don't make an initial Eruv, or make bread, or declare bread that was previously not an Eruv, to be a first-time Eruv on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And this is a function of Hachona that we spoke about before, that what is the hachana? Because when you take that loaf of bread on the end of Yom Tov for Shabbos, there is a declaration that he's announcing that it is an Eruv. And that's a hachona problem. Therefore, if you made the Eruv for the first day by foot, don't make an Eruv for the second day, which in this case is Shabbos. Don't make it from bread, because that gets you involved with hachona. The Gemara continues, Erev v'pas b'yom rishon, ma'arev v'pas b'yom sheni. This is the number two, draws your attention to the two above in the list of cases. So in that case, he made an Eruv using bread for the first day. He makes an Eruv for the second day using bread. Omar Shmuel uba oisa hapas. The second day Eruv that we spoke about using bread, it means with the same bread that he used for the first day. Otherwise, there will be this problem of hachona. Omar Vashi, daika nami masnis indikatoni. By careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see this. Ketsiru ose, what does he do? Molicho berishon, umach shecholov, enotlu bolo. He takes the loaf of bread to the this new mokum shvisa, waits with it till darkness sets in, and then takes it back home. Basheni machshich olov viochlo ubolo. On the second day, he carries it there and waits till Shabbos sets in, till darkness sets in, and then eats it. What do we see in this Mishnah quote? It says v'notlo ubolo, that which we dashed underline. That means he takes that loaf. Which loaf? The loaf that he used for the first day, he is using for the second day. That is what Shmuel just taught us, where he said uboisa hapas. And once again, why boisa hapas? Why v'notlo ubolo? So as to circumvent the hachona problem. The Gemara now asks, what about the response of the Amoraim that we saw don't hold from Hachona, namely Abaye and Rabbo Bar Avchonin? That's what the word Rabbonan addresses. And we have a bow tie just to help us focus on these are opinions that don't hold from the Hachona prohibition. So the Rabbonan will tell you, Dilma Hasam Eitzah Toiva Kamash Mulan. Maybe what the Mishnah says, the notlo ubolo, that he takes the bread back home in anticipation of using it as an eruv for the next day, that's all an eitzah toiva. And we take a look at Rashi. Amri loch, dilmo masnis an eitzah toiva komash malon. Hodekotoni notlo ubolo, shelo yovad viyafsit pito. The suggestion in the source, which we dashed online, take it with you and bring it back, is only to save from loss. It has nothing to do with the fact that you must use the same loaf, but rather it's a piece of good advice. Otherwise, you might lose it, and you'll have to then trouble yourself to get another loaf. Ulola mi boy ma'ariv b'cheres. And in fact, if he wanted to use another loaf, he could do that. Now let's read that line again. Ulolam e boy, in general, if he should want. So ma'arev bacheres u dekotoni ein eruv l'sheni. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches Amalav says there's that it's not an eruv for the second day. Bekniya kemaisa komar ilo odar ma'arev. That means with the first Eruv that you set down, so there's no Eruv for the second day, unless you go ahead and make a second Eruv. So all of that is what Eitzah Toivu Kamashal means, take the loaf back, not because you have to use the same loaf that you used on the first day for the second day, because of a Hachona problem, but rather, it's an Eitzah Toivu, it's a piece of good advice, why not preserve that first loaf, so you don't have to look around for a second loaf for the Eruv of the second holy day. With that, we conclude our shiur for today, but also reminding you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.